Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Bulldog Hour. Captain Gonzo alongside, as always, we'll take you to 3, and then CG and Gonzo will bring you to 6 o'clock, and then here's a stunner. We'll go back to the national network. I laugh about it. It is not at its core funny to anybody right now what we're going through, but as far as I mentioned yesterday, forward promoting, which is what we do because this is the start of the local block, there's not a lot beyond our good friends Christopher Gabriel and Gonzo to forward promote, except when Nick and Matt come up on Thursday, or Nick and Nick on Friday. That pretty much takes care of it. And look, we may get baseball maybe in mid-May. I think it's going to be optimistic, and everything else may wait for the fall. We'll see what the NBA does. I know that we are hopeful that we get an NBA playoff year, and we're hopeful that everything's ready to go in September for what happens with Fresno State. Excuse me. Right now, a chance, before we talk to Andrew, talk to our good friend Mike Sherinian, of course, the proprietor of the Elbow Room, about what's going on with the restaurants, because this has become a major issue. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Tony, it is great to hear your voice. It's been a while. I know we chatted yesterday a little bit, but yeah, there's obviously a lot going on, and none of it is particularly, wonderful for the public out there at large, or certainly the restaurant community. I think here in Fresno, very shortly this afternoon, you're going to get a clarification from Mayor Brand. Right. Restating in stronger terms that the city of Fresno will be a no dining zone, even if you do social distancing. What that means is up until presumably tomorrow, you could have a full service restaurant like the Elbow Room or Dave Fanzler's restaurants or Pat LaRock, all of our friends.
Right.
And as long as the spacing on the tables was sufficient and you were at 50% of your capacity, your normal capacity, you could continue full-service dining. My understanding, if indeed Mayor Brand follows through on this, effectively tomorrow you'll be only able as a patron to get takeout and delivery, and that will be the extent of it. So that's hopefully a short period, but it's certainly daunting.
Look, Mike, you and I have known one another a long time. I was just thinking the other day, it has been, 24 years since you showed me what the then new Elbow Room, of course, you were across the street first, what right. It was going to look like. And it's amazing. We've had almost a quarter century go by, and so many big events have been there with you. And the biggest thing that I was struck by all the years I did the show there, it's always been a social gathering point. It's been a great restaurant and a great opportunity for people to get a terrific meal and talk and have their favorite beverage. But it also had become a social gathering point. And I would imagine, as tough as it is for you, and you mentioned the other guys too. I know Patsy at 5 obviously had the fire, then he comes back, and now this happens. It's part of, my family in the restaurant business. So
absolutely.
We're well aware of it. But as tough as it is for you, the loyal patrons, it's tough because it was a social gathering point. It was beyond just what you might have offered in the way of food or beverage. There was an intangible there that they probably miss as much as you do, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, if you're at Westwood's, Yosemite Ranch, Pismo's, or at 5, and,
right.
Before that at La Roca's, and you could go on and on, Ovidio's, name the wonderful restaurants in town. All of us are so intimately involved in the community because we donate to everything. We're blessed to have all the support from every walk of life. And I think that's what gives all those restaurants the kind of flavor and uniqueness. Business travelers want to come to our restaurants, and locally we all know each other, and that's a really important element to the experience. And it's sadly, it's lacking, and people are being forced to be sequestered in their homes, essentially.
Yeah, you're right. And it's not lost on me the irony of today being St. Patrick's Day. And there was a time, Mike, at a previous restaurant that you were at prior to the Elbow Room, you know what I'm referring to, that I had a St. Patrick's Day a long time ago where right. I made a comment that I thought was off the air, and come to find out, if you remember, the board op did not pick up what I thought was a clear out cue, and I was speaking to a food server who was a very good friend of mine and a lovely young lady, and I said some things in jest, and she knew it was in jest. It just didn't sound very good over the air for people who didn't know it was in jest. So, and I'm still apologizing for that many moons later. Let's put it that way. And I remember it well. Okay. So.
I think you get a total reprieve because since today is St. Patrick's Day, and that's good luck. And just a side note for you, the Silver Dollar Hofbra opened St. Patrick's Day 1975, and as dire as things are, I always view today as good luck. So let's hope that that you are forgiven by the server that I remember who it is, and you were. But yeah, that was pretty hysterical. Actually, I remember what you're talking about.
And I want to make it clear, it was not a sexist comment at all. It was a comment about the business in the restaurant. And I made a comment about how great the business was that day. And let's just leave it at that. Because that's
I am with you. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, up until the last few days, you know, both the Elbow Room and I know I've been on the phone 5 times the last 2 days with Dave Fanzler and what have you. And, you know, it's really funny. Things were actually feeling relatively normal and sales were really good also out at Riley's Brew Pub, our other restaurant. And then, you know, with all the dramatic announcements the last few days, people are understandably glued to their TV set and again, being asked very strongly to stay home or in very minimal contact, only for necessary errands, et cetera, that it's a paradigm shift from everybody's normal MO, and you can't even talk about sports. I mean, I guess we could thank God the free agency started for the NFL.
If it weren't that way, I was going to ask the league to invoke it anyway, okay, because we needed to talk about the logic of the 49ers signing Armstead to a big deal and shipping Buckner away. We needed that, Mike, without question. You and I needed it as longtime 49er fans. We also need it as an aversion right now, as you know.
I think we should just lie to everybody and tell them that Eddie DeBartolo is sitting on a bar stool down here right now. Come on down and ask Eddie any questions you want from the 80s and the early 90s. Yeah. Hi, Eddie. Okay. No.
Hey, listen, you pay them airfare from Tampa Bay. If he could get here these days, he would. And you know this, when he owned the 49ers, you might have found him at the bar stool because he loved to talk about the Niners and who didn't in the 80s and 90s, right?
Tony, I don't know if this is the appropriate time to stop me if it isn't, but 20 years ago when my wife Christine and I were dating, we were in Las Vegas at the Bally's Hotel having dinner with the late Mike Vukovich, and who walks by but Eddie DeBartolo and his family. They sit down, and the place is empty. My wife, who is an inveterate Ram fan, when I said, there goes Eddie DeBartolo, she goes, who's that? I said, what do you mean, who's that? He owns the 49ers, right? So he's got about 12 of his family members. I send all of them a drink, okay? Eddie DeBartolo, true story, comes over and sat with us for about 15 minutes. He knew my godfather and my father, who were original season ticket holders because they sold tickets, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to tell you what, Eddie DeBartolo could not have been more humble and nice. And the next week at the old Elbow Room, okay, so this was 24 years ago.
Right.
It was not 20. 24 years ago, he sends a box from Santa Clara, and it's got a 49er sweater and every piece of 49er stuff you can imagine. And so bless Eddie DeBartolo. He could not have been a classier guy, but my wife just says, that's not the owner of the Niners. I said, yeah, it is. So,
they said this. You know this. They said that Eddie, even though he grew up with privilege, because, as you know, Eddie DeBartolo Sr., Edward DeBartolo, you wouldn't call him Eddie, Edward DeBartolo Sr., who was not to be trifled with, by the way, started, of course, the strip malls, the shopping malls that we see. But they said that Eddie D. was more likely to be hanging with the Teamsters than he was with the highbrows. He is one of those guys that he would fight you in the middle of Times Square if you wanted the challenge of in New York.
Yeah, he probably that's why he was so successful. I mean, he was revered, and I know some ex-49ers like you from that era that, to a person, just loved the guy because he could relate. They knew he was the owner, but my God, he treated everybody like family, from the least prestigious player to Joe Montana, and he was the real deal. So, yeah, what a great owner with great charisma.
And that's the reason, by the way, Mike, and players from Tim McDonald on through would tell you that the reason the 49ers won, a record, by the way, that I don't think is ever going to be broken, 18 straight road games, ponder that one, was because they said they traveled first class. They had first class chefs, first class accommodation. I have said on air, I wanted to thank Eddie, and at the time was a lot of money for spending $91 million of family money for my entertainment. And you know, it seemed like so much then, right? $91 million, and here's Tom Brady, you know, waiting to see if he can get $30 million to go somewhere. I want to ask you quickly here a couple of things, sure, Mike, because I do appreciate the time. One, before we finish with the Niners, which you and I could talk about from now till Kezar is rebuilt, which that's, yep, that's not happening, by the way. But what is happening up in your home area? Your home area has been Fresno forever, but I know you are a San Francisco guy. Your dad, of course, was a North Beach legend. But what about it? Sheltered in place, there are 7 million people or thereabouts, 6 to 7 million. Any inkling that we're going to face it here, Mike? Do you know?
You know, my sense is, I'm going to qualify it. I think if we don't get a significant outbreak of identified cases of the coronavirus, I think we're going to see this thing calm down, and I don't see it. I don't see it as restricted as the Bay Area, and I think that could be for some political reasons as well, but I think health and safety come first. And, you know, I think we're kind of going to see over the course of the next 2 to 4 weeks, kind of a double incubation period. If things flatten or decline, we're going to see a return to more normalcy. But I don't expect to see that kind of a shutdown unless there is some type of major outbreak here. But that's just my guess.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Mike, there's one thing about it, and you know this well. San Francisco is a European city in topography, meaning very close quarters. Anybody who's ever lived up there, and I lived in San Mateo for a while, and I knew when you went away from the South Bay Area and went back to the city, you and I both know, I had a running joke, if you went somewhere on Polk Street, which I did too many times, I might add, if you were the first one to park, you had to be the last one to leave because there were no parking backup areas, right? They just parked everybody like sardines. That's part of the city's character and its charm, but it's also the danger of it right now, right?
Yeah, you went from a full-size Cadillac, it got crunched down after a few parking episodes, down to a compact because they have no problem jamming you up like that. Yeah.
And I'll tell you how long ago it was. It was $2. It was first in, last out, $2. That's the only thing you would hear from the How about that? What was the last time it cost $2 to park in San Francisco, right?
Oh, God. Gosh, I can't even remember. God, it's probably 20. It's a minimum of 20 now. Gracious.
Yep. But I hope it does not happen here. But for the restaurants, for all of them, as you mentioned, is it something, Mike, where you do indeed stay open? I mean, do you look at this and say, I know you talked about Patsy, and he was saying, you know, curbside is what they are looking at 5 right now. Is that what you are looking at the Elbow Room, or do you have to look at shutting down for a while?
Well, I think everything is on the table, and I've spent since 6 o'clock in the morning, again, talking to Dave Fanzer, my attorney, the landlord, everybody. You're kind of looking at all options and scenarios. We've had our staff in. We'll have an all-staff meeting, and I think all the options are open. It's just, you know, here's a side note that if you really think about it is going to be a question, and I don't want to say that I know this is fact, but the question is, will the supply chain, now in theory, there is plenty of food out there, and there is, okay? In other words, supermarkets have a supply chain that,
right,
to use a Lake Millerton expression, it got overfished, meaning people bought 20 times the norm. Yep. That's why the shelves are empty. Now, restaurants like us have a different supply chain, but all of those major vendors, the Ciscos of the world, if you will, okay, their customers got shut down or severely restricted. So think of all the perishable product that they have lost. The question is, will the restaurant by next week, the restaurants by next week, be able to be resupplied? Okay, so that is an unknown.
That's, yep,
in my mind, and I'm going to be pursuing that track. So they, being the food service suppliers, not for supermarkets, but for restaurants and institutions, hospitals, the hospitals will get taken care of. But again, if these big companies, massive companies that are supplying thousands of customers, are losing millions of dollars worth of perishable product, you know, that's a financial hit that's off the chart. So this is a domino effect in a little different way than most people might realize.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a complicated issue, and you're right. The tentacles of this impact a lot more than just the restaurant itself. I also know you have other restaurant interests, let's,
yeah,
put it that way. And so it's not merely just one restaurant right now, and I know that impacts everything. And, you know, we are always, sure, so happy that you have the coaches shows. I know you just wrapped up with Paul and Hutt just a few weeks ago, that your relationship with Fresno State has been one of the long term, and I know it'll stay that way. And I hope you guys, everybody, all the restaurants, the people you mentioned, and everybody figures it out, because it is a very difficult time, and it does impact not only you, but your employees and down the line. Mike,
yeah,
to wrap
and, you know,
it up,
Tony,
go ahead.
One parting shot for all the listeners out there. It would be so hugely helpful for all of our, you know, friends and customers to come in and buy gift cards at your favorite restaurants, because we're all offering, you know, discounting on it. And we know it's a tough time, but boy, that'd be a great way to help the restaurant's cash flow. I know Dave Fanzer's got a great program going on right now. So do we. And that would be hugely, you know, just, I can't even tell you the magnitude of gratitude that would be from all of us to help, you know, support local. We're going to make discounted deals on gift cards. And then, you know, when things get back to normal, our guest has a greatly discounted gift card to use and come in and, you know, return to their normal life. So that would sure be appreciated.
Well, I hope people do indeed do that. And Mike, as I said before, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I always appreciate everything you do, wherever I might be. And in this case, with our Fresno State relationship, it is so important, and it's great to have the coaches' shows there, as they have been. The last thing
well,
for
I
you,
sure
as
I really appreciate you, Tony. We've been buddies forever, and I'll tell you what, we did anybody ever have more fun than the radio shows we used to do? Holy cow!
Well, if I've said it before. If we could have put the brakes over the air that one day, it ended up with the break. By the way, the kicker to that is my general manager walked in on that St. Patrick's Day, and she said, "How long you been on the air, Tony?" At that point, I had been on the air for about 20 years. She said,
yep.
"So you do know what a hot mic is, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm aware of that." And then the best part is, I'm thoroughly embarrassed. Another guy, a friend, comes rolling in, and he goes, "You're big time, man. It's New York radio. That's all there is to it." I said, okay, it may be New York radio, but I'm not so sure it was supposed to be Fresno radio. But, look,
well,
Mike.
Thank God we didn't get indicted.
Well, yeah, boom, thank you very much. Drive safely. He's here all week, everybody. Try the broken leg of lamb. That's right. Okay, look, as we wrap this up, back to the toy department, okay? But for you and I, it's,
yeah,
important. If I were to say to you that the 49ers are going to make a move, and they are going to send Garoppolo away, where maybe back to Belichick. It's not a trade for Brady, because Brady's a free agent, and he said today he's going elsewhere. Would you be in favor after what we saw? Here's how I'm going to prejudice the response like a good lawyer, right?
Sure.
If I were to say to you, we could look at the last 9 minutes of the Super Bowl as Exhibit A, would you be in favor of sending Jimmy G away, although it'd break the hearts of every single or maybe married woman as well in the Bay Area, send him away and bring Tom, the prodigal son, back home? where his dad was a season ticket holder, just to see in his waning years if he could go ahead as a player. I'm sorry, he has plenty of time as a person try to bring a Super Bowl with the ready-made team. Would you do it?
I'll tell you what, I think he may not be playing as the greatest of all time right now, but he's still great, and he's got a lot of horsepower around him, and they might pick up a wide receiver too, who knows, in the draft. I mean, however they play that, but there would be some symmetry to a San Mateo boy who grew up loving the Niners coming back. I think that would pump the world up. Just, it would be, I mean, can you imagine the media frenzy in the Bay Area? Oh my God. Yeah, I think I'd love it. And I don't dislike Jimmy Garoppolo, but man, you bring Tom Brady in, holy cow, it's like, you know, that's like having Mick Jagger come down and sing at the bar.
Well, the problem, he's almost as old as Mick. That's the trouble. No, I'm kidding. So we'll see. All right. Well, I should the family call and ask me, I will say that Mike Sheridan is very much in favor. I know Tom would love to come home. All kidding aside, he would love to come back to the Bay Area. The issue is, you know, do you want to give up on Garoppolo? But more particularly, is it a case where you are renting an aging superstar and turning your team upside down? Though I will tell you, Mike, if it is first and foremost that they don't believe Jimmy G can get it done, it's not that big a risk if you're going to send him away. If, however, you think you're going to just have a pause button with Garoppolo, your cap can't afford it, and psychologically you can't afford it. So it would really tell us more than anything that they don't believe in Garoppolo. Wouldn't that really be the referendum if Brady comes in? It's more about that than it is bringing Tom home.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the organization's about winning. And, you know, but there's another caveat to this whole thing that we haven't talked about. The question is red and gold in Tom's color chart, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, we'd have to ask Giselle if that's the case.
Don't
call
deal.
Bridget and ask her, because I've said this before, if looks could kill, the play dates early on where Bridget is standing there watching Tom and her son with Giselle, they're pretending it was the mom, that was getting ugly. So I think Tom has to consider whether a move back to California could endanger other relationships. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm with you. That might be more brutal than the pass rush, so you're right.
You and I are turning into E! Entertainment here. Hey, Mike, look, it's always great talking to you. I wish you were under better circumstances with the restaurant business, but I know this. You have been through a whole bunch, and you have come out on top, and I am so pleased about that, and I know that will never change. I've said it before, and I told my brother-in-law this. Mike Sheridan is the best restaurateur I have ever met, and my brother-in-law did not disagree with that. So that tells you you need to know, my friend.
You are sweet to say that, but go support local and go see Fansler's restaurants and La Rocca and Ovidio's and everybody else we could name, because God knows there's great ones out there. So, Tony, I look forward to seeing you. Let's do this again sooner, but not later, okay?
No question, and also I will pass along your tremendous wishes to my brother-in-law and my sister, who are both fighting, as you know, the same fight up in Seattle with my niece. So I appreciate you mentioning it to me on the phone.
We're raising money specifically for LOS, and Paul DeChico is my inspiration. God love him, and we could do another show when he and I had our lockers next to each other at Dan Gamble's. That was a riot. So that's
the worst
show.
Basketball player in history, by the way. Paul thought that you played basketball like a nose tackle. That's how he played basketball. So I hope you weren't on the court with him. Bodies were flying everywhere, Mike. That's all there is to
it. I love it. All right. God love you, Tony. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you, Mike. Take care. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Our good friend Mike Sheridan. Again, I wanted to get an update, not only because Mike has been a tremendous supporter of everything we have done at the station, the coaches' shows, you name it. Just ask Chris Pacheco, one of our owners, what a great guy Mike Sheridan is. But I wanted to get the update about the restaurant situation, because it is a major impact for everybody trying to figure out what to do here, particularly if you're looking around and you're not seeing the things at the store you want and you're thinking, okay, well, you know what, we'll pick something up at the restaurants. As it stands right now, as long as it is curbside pickup, you can get it done. But as Mike mentioned, as far as the sit-down dining that has become a problematic proposition right now. All right, we'll take a break, come back with Andrew. We want to talk sports the rest of the way as well. We'll do that and get you ready for CG and Gonzo at 3 o'clock on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:33 Bulldog Hour to 3 o'clock, and then Christopher and Gonzo will take you to 6 o'clock CGP and then back to the national network. Right now, a chance to talk to a usual Tuesday visitor a little bit later in the hour. And last week, we didn't think we were even going to talk to him right now because he was supposed to be, as he told us at that time, in Arizona. But a funny thing happened on the way to spring training. It got canceled. So let's bring up our good friend Andrew Martin, 24 and 47, host of the Bulldog Insider, 6 o'clock on 24. Andrew, good to have you back. I know that wasn't in the plan, right? You were supposed to not be back until the end of the week, correct?
Right, yes. Yeah. So when I was there in Arizona, Tony, spring training went on without a hitch. I actually was there March 4th through March 8th, and about a day and a half after I got back is when the clubhouses started to close. And when the really big outbreak of this coronavirus started to envelop the world. And, you know, obviously, it wasn't too long after that that spring training was canceled and the season was pushed back, and then it was pushed back again. And obviously yesterday we found out that mid-May at the earliest is when we're going to see opening day. And then last week I was in Denver for an Olympic planning trip. We still don't know what's happening with the Olympics, although everyone with NBC, everyone with the IOC, still says that the Olympics are going to go off as scheduled. We'll see. I just got an email from the PGA Championship that is being postponed. So who knows? But I was in, Colorado, Denver, and the Colorado Springs area. We shot a half-hour special that may or may not air now. And then this week I was supposed to be in Los Angeles for the Olympic Media Summit. That ended up getting canceled. And so, yeah, I'm back in Fresno and, doing as best I can to try and stay on top of this like everybody else. And whenever there was sports news, we'll report it. Yesterday turned out to be a very busy day in the sports world. The sudden passing of Jim Bartko, Jalen Green, named State Player of the Year by Max Preps. All the NFL news that's coming out. And yesterday was Marcus Mariota signing with the Raiders. Today it's, Tom Brady announcing he's not coming back with the Patriots, and Phillip Rivers announcing his deal with the Colts. Yeah. And Jason Witten's now a Raider. So there's been a lot going on, despite the fact that the entire world has apparently, shut down.
Right, and you know what, I want to mention this because I had a couple of emails about this. No insight, all kidding aside, about what Tom Brady is going to do. I've said this before. I know his sister, Maureen, very well because she was the standout pitcher at Fresno State, pitched the Bulldogs to the College World Series back in 94. Tom Sr., who's of course retired now, but an insurance executive all those years, would travel up and down the state, and we happened to have the softball games on 940 at that time, though it wasn't an all-sports station back in the 90s. But I had a chance to meet both Tom Sr. and then Tommy, and I've said this before, he was, I think, a junior or a senior at Serra High School in San Mateo, and I did not see that Tom Brady becoming this Tom Brady, but that's what happened. But I haven't talked to the legend, the GOAT, Tom Brady, since his high school days, so I don't have any insight, and I haven't talked to Maureen or his sisters at all for a number of years. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
and I was asking Shereen about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, according to the experts at ESPN, I was watching a little bit of NFL Live earlier today, they seem to think he's headed to Tampa Bay, and it's all but a done deal, and it's going to be announced tomorrow. So we'll see. I still think the Chargers are in play. I think, part of his farewell goodbye talked about him being a California kid. If he could end his career, and do so in Los Angeles, that seems to be where all the athletes are going, right? LeBron went there. I have no idea. Nobody knows. Really, only he knows. But it is going to be weird to see him in a jersey other than a Patriots.
No, you're right about that. And, whether Giselle wants to be in – she doesn't have to go down to Tampa, St. Pete, obviously. She can stay up in New York if she wants to. Or if she is someone who wants to have the family life in Los Angeles, then that could impact it. But – as I mentioned to Shereen, I don't see any way in the world that the 49ers are going to make the deal. Although, Tom, if you were to ask Tom Brady, I know this, where would he like to finish his career? There's no question, given the fact that the 49ers are ready made to win a Super Bowl and probably should have won the thing had they played the last 9 minutes the way they should have. That's no knock, of course, against the Chiefs. They deserve to win. That would be ready made, but I don't think the 49ers are prepared to take a guy in his mid-40s and give him $30 million and turn their roster upside down. But you never say never. I agree with you. It's probably going to be Tampa. And speaking of Eddie DeBartolo, that's where Eddie D lives. So maybe he can convince Tom that it's best that he goes to San Francisco and plays for the minimum. So we'll see about that. You can break out laughing anytime you want. Andrew, I wanted to ask you about one other thing here of a serious nature, and it's an awkward transition. You mentioned Jim Bartko, our sympathies to the entire Bartko family. You and I talked off air about this. We both knew Jim, and Jim was very public about the issues of his life, and I know that by all accounts he had started to get things back the way he was comfortable up with the University of Oregon, and it's a terrible tragedy the way it ended, and we also know that he had a lot of issues that he was very open about, and so great sympathies to his family, and we certainly feel horribly with the circumstances that preceded the tragic passing away of Jim Bartko. But I want to ask you about Nate Grimes being arrested, and again, it's just a charge, so we're not going to convict anybody here on the air. We would never do that. But it is domestic abuse, and I know that Nate is someone who had some issues that caused him to be suspended. I'm not saying that it's related at all to anger management or what have you, but it is something, Andrew, and I'm not going to pass judgment either way. I don't know what happened, nor do you. It is something that if Nate is looking beyond this, beyond the legal system, this is not something you want on your docket right now if you're looking to play the game for pay. So I would say this is a very unfortunate turn of events, and only Nate and the other individual involved know exactly what happened. Do you have any comment beyond that?
Well, it's tough to speculate on specifically what happened, but obviously if he's in trouble and he's in trouble off the court, that's not a good look for either him or for this program. And obviously Nate Grimes is a graduating senior, and so his time with the Fresno State basketball program is done. But the last thing this program needs is a black eye in any, sense of the name or the word. I mean, this was a down season. It was a very disappointing season for a program that, was coming off 23 wins. It was in every single release that Fresno State sent out that, Justin Hudson was the Joe B. Hall National Coach of the Year. It was a program that last season probably should have gotten an NIT berth. And then to go from that season to this season where you just kind of scratch your head and wonder what happened. You can point to injuries. You can point to a lot of different things. You can point to youth, although every team in the country deals with something. And I will say this, and I've said this both on air and off, Tony, this Fresno State basketball team, has a lot of talent. And, if all of the guys who contributed significantly return, and who knows if Jalen Green ends up coming to Fresno State. I mean, there was a soundbite that I ran yesterday from our station in San Jose. They interviewed him about a week and a half or so ago, and Fresno State is still on the table for Jalen Green. If he does end up coming to Fresno State, does that make the Bulldogs the favorite in the Mountain West? Maybe not, but they would certainly be up there. But even without him, they've got a lot of talented players who potentially could have a few years in the program. The Orlando Robinsons, the Jarrett Hyders, the, Nevin Harts, the Jordan Campbells, et cetera. So
yes.
You can't use inexperience, youth and injuries as an excuse. This year's senior class and this latest example with Nate Grimes, they didn't get the job done as well as the previous senior class. And you kind of set the bar each year with your seniors to be leaders. We saw it from Deshaun Taylor and Sam Bittner and Braxton Huggins, and they set a good example for this program in Hudson's first season. Noah Blackwell, New Williams, and Nate Grimes, you don't want to loop them all together because they are different individually, and obviously Blackwell and New Williams did not get in trouble like Nate Grimes did. But having said that, none of those three really took over this program. They had spurts, they had moments, but for the course of the season, they were not the leaders that you needed them to be for this program to be successful. And so bringing it back to the Nate Grimes situation, it's an example of immaturity. It's an example of, you know, a poor decision or possibly poor decisions, plural. Wow. Like you said, Tony, we don't know the specifics of what happened, but obviously this is not a good look for Fresno State, and it was a very disappointing season in general for the Bulldogs. So hopefully they can just put all this in the past, and when things get back to normal, they can look ahead towards the 2020-2021 season and hope to bounce back both on the court and off.
As far as on the court, Andrew, your comments are right on the money. As far as Nate's personal issues, like I said, we are not judge and jury. These are allegations. They are serious allegations, obviously. Like I said, only Nate and the other individual know for sure what happened. I don't believe it's fair to put, and I know you agree, to put that on Fresno State. That's Nate's personal life. And again, not knowing what happened, an allegation right now is just that, an allegation. So I'm not going to put anything on Fresno State about that. On the court, yes, it was not a great year. As far as the personal life of Nate, I'll end it where I started it. It is not something that he needs right now if he's looking to move on with his career. Whether he is at fault or not, that will be determined by the justice system. So it's not something, I agree with you, it's not something Fresno State likes to see. I also don't think it's fair to lay that on the coaching staff. This is Nate's issue.
No.
Rightly or wrongly accused, we're going to find out. I want to move past that right now, Andrew, and I want to look at where we are at with this particular year. You have now bat and ball sports that are not going to get even into the meat of their season. They are not going to get into their conference year. Softball was on its way to their first conference matchups against Boise State. They got as far as Seattle. The baseball team was headed to an important series, particularly seeing what happened in Phoenix and also what happened here against Washington. This was a big opportunity. They got as far as Dallas trying to get to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Neither are going to have a chance to play, barring a miracle, and I just don't see it happening. Are you one who's fully in support of the spring sports only getting another year of eligibility, even of individuals who have their junior class graduating right now, meaning their junior class is on in line after 3 years to go to the draft, so they may not use an extra year of eligibility? Should everybody of the spring sports get an extra year? What do you do with the winter sports for those that didn't actually finish their year? What do you do for both sides of this?
Well, I am of the belief, I agree with the NCAA, that all spring sports athletes should get that year back if they choose, because some, like you said, Tony, may decide to go pro, may decide to go other avenues, and that's their prerogative. But I feel like with the spring sports, as you mentioned, we are just getting, you know, into the meat of the schedule, into the crux of things. And so for those athletes to have that taken away for something that is beyond their control, I think the NCAA has it within its power to grant a one-year respite, or however they figure out the scholarship limits and the roster sizes. I think it's the right call to do that for the spring sports athletes because they barely played their season. The Bulldogs softball team in particular was having a really good year, had been ranked for the last couple of weeks, and was about to start conference play, and for that to get yanked out under the Bulldogs, I feel like you give them that year back, maybe they can do some damage, and maybe they can get back, you know, to Oklahoma City, which they haven't been to since 1999. You know, with the baseball team, like you said, Tony, they had struggled in a couple of series, but, you know, there's no reason to think that they couldn't at least compete in the Mountain West Conference, and we'll never know. So they should get that opportunity as well, and the same goes for teams and programs all across the country. As far as winter sports go, that's a tough one because, you know, you look at Fresno State, for example. The Fresno State men's basketball team is not affected by the coronavirus because the Bulldogs' season ended in Las Vegas at the Mountain West Tournament. So regardless of whether there was an NCAA tournament or an NIT, the Fresno State men's basketball team was not going to be competing. I feel like with the winter sports athletes, they may be out of luck because again, it stinks for guys like Josh Hokit, who were, you know, he was tweeting about trying to gather all the heavyweight wrestlers who qualified for the NCAA championships together to create some type of tournament of their own. They already had their season. You know, all the regular seasons were complete for wrestling and for basketball. You know, obviously the wrestlers miss out on the NCAAs and basketball. Some conferences miss out on conference tournaments. We all miss out on, you know, the NCAA tournament. But they completed the bulk of their season, and so I feel like this is just one of those, you know, unfortunate things that happens once in a blue moon. But I don't know if I would give all winter sports athletes that year back when they completed probably 90 to 95% of their season. So spring sports, yes. Winter sports, I think they may be out of luck.
Now, and I agree with you about that, and I do think it is very unfortunate. Our pal Stephen Clovis had pointed out it's not just Josh. He had, what, five wrestlers? And much like I brought up about the Olympics, the same thing does apply, and Steve pointed it out in his email, and that is there is no guarantee that any will qualify again, I mean, even if you're not a senior, which brings us around to the finite nature of the Olympics, which, again, you have covered the last couple Olympics. You have been in Brazil, you have been in South Korea, and you are planning still to be in Tokyo. But it is, as you referenced, Andrew, going to be something that, I mean, first of all, you have a tremendous difference of opinion between the head of the IOC and the head of the French Olympic Committee. You know, one saying, okay, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. That's kind of what the IOC is saying. And you've got the folks in France saying, hang on a minute, if it's not resolved by the end of May in a positive way, there isn't going to be anything in July. The Olympics people build their whole life around, and I said it and I meant it, you not only wonder what it'll be like 4 years from now on the international stage, but you don't even know if you can make your own Olympic team in 4 years. That's how transient it is with people coming up behind you that might be hitting their athletic prime at the same time you're going down a little bit. So it's going to be tremendously difficult if we don't have the Olympics. Andrew, if you were a betting man, knowing only obviously what you know now, what are the odds of this thing taking place? And they're saying it cannot be delayed. It either starts on time or we don't have the Olympics. It can't be delayed. It can't be moved. Is it going to be there for everybody?
You'd like to say yes, but the way that things are going, Tony, I don't honestly see how they can have an Olympics as scheduled. Yes, it's not scheduled to start for 4 months, right? But every single day we're reading and seeing about new cases of this coronavirus. And it's not under control. Even if they do get it under control, it's not going to happen in at least the next, I mean, the CDC is saying for all these gatherings of 50 people, right, 8 weeks. So let's say everything gets under control in 8 weeks. Well, at that point, let's use Major League Baseball as an example. You can't just start the season the day after the CDC and the World Health Organization say, okay, you've got the all clear, go for it, because it's going to take players, especially pitchers, time to ramp up and get, I mean, that's the reason why spring training exists. You can't just start the season. They're going to need 2 to 4 weeks to truly get ready. With the Olympics, what do you do about all the Olympic trials? Wrestling trials have already been postponed. I think beach volleyball has been postponed. And so if you don't know how you're going to make an Olympic team, then how do you qualify for the Olympics? Baseball, for example, is back this year for the first time since 2008. Well, Team USA is not qualified yet, and they were supposed to have a tournament at the end of this month, the end of March, in Arizona was supposed to be the next chance to qualify for a berth. If that tournament's been postponed, then they may not have a chance to qualify. Boxers were supposed to be competing, you know, I think in Argentina this month, and that's been postponed. And so without the Olympic trials, how do you find out who qualifies for the Olympics? Without figuring out who your Olympic team is, do you qualify as a country? And right now, Italy's on lockdown, France, Spain, you know, I mean, our country obviously is suffering a lot, China. So I don't know, Tony. I really don't know. The nice thing, at least with the Olympics versus some of these other sporting events that have already been canceled or postponed, is there are still 4 months to figure things out. But the way things are going with everything being canceled, I find it hard to believe that everything's going to go off without a hitch. But personally, I've been told that the Olympics are still full steam ahead. So until I'm told otherwise, I'm still planning on going there in mid-July. But like you're saying, Tony, I don't know with the way that everything else is happening in the world how this goes off without a hitch. But I haven't been told otherwise yet.
Well, I hope for your sake and obviously everybody who competes and those that really build their summer, in this case, around the Olympics, that it does take place. And for someone like Jenna Prandini, who is a great example of someone who is in their athletic prime, that's where she is right now. It would be just a travesty if this is taken away, as 1980 was taken away from the Olympic athletes here for political reasons. This is completely different. You got about 30 seconds,
yeah, you're
Andrew.
Yeah, Tony, but right, you're completely correct. I will say this in the case of Jenna Prandini, she at least did have the Olympic experience. She was in Rio 4 years ago. For somebody like Bubba Nichols, right, from Merced, who's on the softball team, she may not get a chance to go back, and this may be her one opportunity. So it's different for everybody. Obviously, you want this opportunity for all the elite athletes, you know, in the world, but this is something that's beyond all of our control. I mean, there's a reason why restaurants and bars and wineries and gyms are closing right now. It's to try and, you know, stave off this virus and keep the social distancing intact. So you feel for those athletes. I'm not worried about me, but you feel for those athletes if they don't get the opportunity to go. But what can you do realistically? You know, you just have to chalk it up to one of those things that, you know, it's unfortunate, but yep, everybody is dealing with it. So you don't know how to console them. You really don't.
You're right, except in Jenna's case, she has said she learned so much about circumstances when early qualifying rounds, all the things that I know she would be able to react to much better this time around. And so you're correct about having a chance already, but she deserves a second shot more than anything else. She, like everybody else, deserves the chance to qualify and have the competition. And if that's taken away, said 1980, it was taken away for political reasons. This is something that is truly out of everybody's control. It's just that if you don't have it now, Father Time is undefeated. And in 4 years, everybody who now is in their athletic prime has to deal with not only maybe they're no longer within that window, but you have those coming up behind you that could keep you from making the team in 4 years. So it is, and it's the same for everybody across the country. It just, and the world, it just hits home when you have someone who's a local performer. Everything else, Andrew, you're absolutely right about. Hey, we're out of time, my friend. I'm sorry for the truncated time today. We'll get back to full length next week. Take care. Hope people visit 24 and 47's website and watch whatever you have, including the Insider, Sunday at 6. Good luck, my friend. Both you and I are going to survive this thing. I know that. I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about the reality there's no sports. Okay. We'll both survive it. I promise you. All right.
Yeah. I mean, we spent last Sunday on Insider talking solely about the coronavirus. So
yeah.
I have no doubt that, that'll be permeating all the topics of conversation for a long time.
And you're going to survive it if it hits, because you're a lot younger than me. But that's a different story. I'll talk on that high note. I'll let you go. Take care, Andrew. I'll see you later. All right.
Take care, Tony.
All right, guys. Andrew Martin, we'll take a break, wrap it up on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN.